Welcome to the Fall Barton 2015. Our topic is the New Commandment. Our first speaker is Brother Evan.
Brother Evan?
All right, good morning, everyone. So I've always looked forward to coming to Barton, and coming for the past 5 years has given me such a great opportunity to make friends and to spend time around God's Word. And this year is extra special for me because I was asked to give a talk. So I'm excited to give it, and it was a lot of fun going through the process of writing it. But I'm also nervous because I have never given a talk like this. But hopefully it goes well and we can all learn a few things this morning for our walks in the truth. So the topic that I chose to talk about this weekend was friendship and love. I've given a devotion here before about the importance of friendship a few years ago, but this class will go beyond that of the devotion, hopefully. Friendship has always been a very important topic of mine because over the years, I've come to realize the impact that our friends can have on us, both for good and for bad. If we surround ourselves with people who don't care about the commandments of God or the soon coming kingdom, then we will be pulled away from the truth. However, if we come to weekends like this and surround ourselves with people who care about the Word of God, then our relationships one with another and with God will strengthen. Choosing the right friends is not always easy, but hopefully later in the class we can look at qualities that we should look for in our friends, and hopefully this helps. But before we look at the idea of friendship in the scriptures, I thought that it would be important to look at the words for love, seeing that it is the driving force behind friendships. So the words used for love are agape and philia. And when you look at these words in their ancient language, you can see that agape love is a self-sacrificial love. So putting others before yourself. A perfect example of this is the program Agape in Action, where brothers and sisters and young people go to Kenya and help build the area up, provide structure, and supply the children with food, shelter, and clothing. These brothers and sisters put their own needs aside to go and help. And recently, this program has built a high school for the young people in the area, and now these kids have the opportunity to receive an education and obtain a skill to provide for their families. And the other word is filio, a brotherly love that exists between friends. And when you look at these two words, you can see the way we should be treating our brothers and sisters and friends, putting their needs before ours and being there in good times and bad. Not a contentious relationship, but striving together with a common goal. So starting with the importance of friendship, being surrounded by a group of people that you care about is an incredible thing. Spending time with one another and enjoying each other's company. And a few years ago, I told this story in a devotion, but for those of you who weren't here, I'll tell it again. And if you've forgot the story, hopefully it's not too boring. But 4 or 5 years ago, my ecclesia was completely separate from the community and didn't even know that there was a community of brothers and sisters right around the corner. And there was a total of about 20 people in my ecclesia, and we thought that we were the only Christadelphians in the area, which, looking back, was absolutely crazy. And the person that I spent the most time with at my meeting was my little cousin, who is 8 years younger than me, but he was the only kid that I had there. And eventually, my parents started realizing that it was going to be very difficult to raise a family in this isolated environment and decided to look around for answers. They found that there was a community of believers right here in New England that was full of active brothers and sisters and young people that were hosting and involved in all these community uplifting events. They were amazed and continued to look into it. And eventually my parents decided that they wanted to send me to a study weekend that was being hosted by Cranston. And I was absolutely terrified, and there wasn't any part of me that wanted to go. But I walked into the hall and I didn't know a single face and felt so uncomfortable. And I just wanted to leave and go back home. But the kids ended up being really nice, and I had a great time. And now my sisters and I go to Cranston every Friday for CYC. We get to come to Barton and attend as many of the gatherings as possible. So I went from only having my little cousin to spend time with to having this huge group of great kids who I love spending time with. Now, after coming to Barton for a few years, I have the opportunity to give one of the classes, and I didn't even know that Barton existed. But going through this experience has taught me something, that I can never take for granted all the opportunities that I have through the community. Some people have had the community for their entire lives and may not see how important it is because it has become a routine. The community is so special and offers so much. And the reason why I'm telling this story is because it's the reason why friendship is so important to me. I've made the most incredible friends because my parents discovered the community, because I wouldn't be the same person if I didn't have these people surrounding me, because friends are the people that you lean on in times of need and the people that you lend a helping hand to. And that's why I decided to talk about friendship, because the friends that I've made in the truth will assist me to the kingdom, and hopefully I can do the same in return. But sometimes the hard thing is choosing the right friends that will guide you to the kingdom. The friends that we actively choose can either pull us away from the truth or keep us and help us on the straight and narrow path. And that's scary to think about, for me at least, because when I'm talking to a classmate or someone at work, the first thing that pops into my head isn't always, will this person help me on my journey to the kingdom? If we keep this question on our minds, then the relationships we make will be profitable for our walks. So we can look at some biblical examples of profitable relationships as well as the relationships that led to ruin. And then I'll only go over two examples, and then we can have a break-off session of, I haven't decided how long it's going to be, but just with the people around you, you can discuss other biblical examples of friendships that were profitable and others that weren't so much, and we can talk about those. So we can start with a bad example, and then we'll finish up with a good one. So the first example that came to my mind when thinking about a destructive pair was Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel fed off each other's poor decisions and just spiraled downwards. And if we turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, we can see an example of their destructive path together. And could I have a volunteer to read that as well? 1 Kings 21, verses 8 through 10.
Nick, thanks.
All right, so before these verses are recorded, it's recorded in the scriptures that Ahab went and whined to his wife about how he had an entire kingdom but couldn't have one vineyard. And then in return, Jezebel comes up with this elaborate plan to kill a man and lies to the people of Israel to justify her actions. And then Ahab's reaction to the situation is just as bad. And if we go down to verse 15 of the same chapter, we read of how Ahab reacts. Could I have someone read that verse as well? 1 Kings 21, verse 15. So we can assume that Ahab knew, at the very least, that something suspicious had happened. And he went into his wife and complained that he couldn't have a vineyard, and the next day his wife comes in with a smile on her face and tells him that Naboth is dead and that the vineyard is his. And the scripture doesn't record it, But word could have spread through the king's household, and Ahab could have known about Jezebel's scheme and just didn't do anything about it. He just left and went to possess the vineyard without asking any questions. So from this relationship, we can see two individuals who are living their lives without God as the priority, collectively making bad decisions, and neither is looking out for the best interests of the other with perspective to the truth. And on the other end of the spectrum, we can look at the relationship between Jonathan and David. And these two were the best of friends, and their relationship was made so strong because of their love for God. And we can see the love that was shared between these two individuals through a passage in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And could I have someone read verses 3 and 4 of chapter 18, please? So this verse, we can see Jonathan makes a covenant with David, and he gives him his princely robe and his weapons. And obviously, we don't need to be handing out all of our possessions to make friends, but we can see the respect and love that Jonathan had for David and sees him as a special individual. And Jonathan and David's relationship continuously grew with the truth as the core, and their love for God as their foundation. And when Saul was hunting David, Jonathan realized the insanity of his father's intentions and protected David and tried to persuade his father of David's innocence. But Saul was blinded by his desire for power and looked at David as his downfall because the kingdom was going to be handed to him. Jonathan knew as well that David had been anointed as the next king, and most princes would have been outraged and joined hands with their father in the murder of David, but Jonathan doesn't. He realizes that this is God's doing and supports David completely. So we can see here two very different relationships recorded for us in Scripture. And the main difference between the two is the focus on the truth in the relationship. Jezebel had no reverence for God and brought Ahab, who was already struggling with the truth, to idols and sin and ultimately death. Ahab and Jezebel didn't discuss the scriptures at home together, and the two of them were so involved in themselves that they forgot what really mattered. However, David and Jonathan shared a love for the truth and discussed the scriptures and conversed about their hope. Their love was made stronger because of their common goal. And this is a great lesson that we can apply to our own lives. If we don't have the truth as the core of our friendships, we may end up like Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel easily won over Ahab because a life of sin and pleasure was much more appealing to Ahab than the truth was. If you have two individuals who are faced with the decision to do the right thing or the wrong thing, and one is in the truth while the other is not, it will be much easier for the person from the world to persuade the other to sin. And I'm not saying that this always happens, but the chances of persuading a person to do evil are much greater than persuading a person to do good. So with our friends at work and school, we always need to be alert to this possibility, because they aren't going in with the intentions to make you sin. But if we spend time with those in the world, sin might not seem as bad to us as time goes on. We may become insensitive to the immorality that the world offers. But if we look at David and Jonathan's relationship, we can see that it was made strong because of their shared love for God. So those are the two examples that I came up with for an example of good friendship around the truth and then a destructive friendship. So for the next like 5 or 6 minutes, just discuss with the people around you and come up with a few relationships recorded in the scripture, whether they were good or bad relationships, and why they were good or bad. And then we can share, and hopefully that's beneficial. So at, what time is it? At 9:58, we'll come back. So from all the good relationships that we looked at, we can see that God and the truth was the foundation and the core of the relationship. But for all of the relationships that were evil, the truth wasn't the priority in their lives. And using this example, we can see that our real friends are the people in this room who really care about us and will do anything to help us to stay in that straight and narrow path. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and I can just read this one. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And this race that Paul describes is not an easy one, but being surrounded by people of a like precious faith definitely helps. And the great thing about this race is that there isn't one winner, and all the other competitors aren't trying to beat you at whatever cost. And if we think of a track race, every runner runs as hard as they can and aspires to beat everyone else, pushing and shoving their way to the finish line. But we are running this race as a team. And if we stumble and fall down, there is a hand outstretched to bring us back up. If we run off the course, someone follows us and grabs our hand and guides us back. There isn't one winner, and the community strives to leave no one behind. We need our brothers and sisters to keep us on the path with our eyes fixed on the kingdom. And this is why friendship is so important. And speaking for myself, I wouldn't make it if it weren't for everyone in this room. And I need everyone in this room to keep me on the straight and narrow path. And coming to events like this reminds me how special the truth is. And being surrounded by individuals that share a love for the truth is extremely uplifting. We can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. All right. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And from this verse, we can see that we've been commanded to keep ourselves from the world and the immorality within it. We have been taught the truth by God's mercy and have been shown an incredible community of believers before our eyes. We should be making our friendships in the truth, because the relationships that we make outside of the truth are potentially dangerous. We have been given the light of the Word and should never consider throwing away the incredible gift that we have been offered to enjoy the passing pleasure of this world that will soon be over. We have the opportunity to enjoy eternal life and to be together forever, and nothing in this world can compare to this wonderful gift. We all need each other to make it to the kingdom. We all need to be that friend with their hand outstretched in help, and the friend that grabs a hold of someone in guidance. We are all on the same team, and we all need help and struggle, but together we can finish the race. There are going to be good times and bad, but we need to stay strong as a group. And this, to me, is the importance of friendship, because we can't finish the race without each other. Our friendships in the truth should guide us and keep our eyes fixed on the soon return of Christ. And Christ is the ultimate example of what a friend should be. We learn so much about friendship by looking at the life of Christ. He was always compassionate, kind, loving, merciful, treating others the way he wanted to be treated. And if someone treated him poorly, he was never mean in return. He was always kind, trying to show everyone the right way to act. And if I could have someone read John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, please. That should be the right one. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. And Christ says to his disciples that they are his friends if they do whatsoever he commands them. And the same offer has been given to us, and that if we do what Christ commanded us, that we are friends of Christ and ultimately friends of God. And we should be striving to be friends of God and Christ by following their commandments, because there are no greater friends. And to close, we can read from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 9 through 12, and I can just read these verses. And it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So let us always strive to work together and support each other, showing forth the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We all have such a wonderful opportunity to serve God, to serve one another, and to all be friends. And we will finish the race if we stick together and care for each other. Thanks for listening.